This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey, friends, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm excited to be with you today to talk about a topic that is so real in my life, and that is the providence of God. Okay, what in the world does that mean? Normally, I say that God is orchestrating all things, or I talk about God's will, God's way, God's purpose, those kinds of things. But I was on an episode with Pastor Marty Baker, and he just kept on using the word providence. And I knew exactly what he was talking about, and I relate to it. My life stories relate to it so much. But I honestly just don't use that word. And so I looked it up. I want to tell you what I found. I looked it up. It says the providence of God is the doctrine that God is actively involved in his creation, sovereignly guiding, sustaining, and directing all events, creatures, and history towards his ultimate purpose. It encompasses God's continuous care and preservation of the universe, ensuring everything operates according to his will, from natural events to the details of human life. Okay, so God did not only create the world, but he continually upholds and governs all things, including nature and our human affairs. Isn't that cool? So if you listened to the episode from last week when I talked about God not being a circumstantial God, you'll hear how God is an anchor in the midst of the storm, and you'll hear about the fact that God, that we are in a broken world where there is evil and good, and where there's deception and there are evil things happening. And so God is our hope in the midst of that. He's light in darkness. And I don't want that idea to get confused with providence, but providence is really more that God is actively involved, and that all things are going to work for his purpose. Like, even if it's a bad thing, and even if things kind of wonky and crazy are going on, God is bigger than all of that. And he's been demonstrating that for millennia. So we really are able to see that he is writing this story on earth, and we are a part of it, and he is involved in our lives as we are part of creation. And it's a big meta concept, but in practical life, it plays out in very kind of cool, interesting, and crazy, miraculous ways. So that's what I want to talk about today. I'm not going to get too meta on you, don't worry. But I do want to highlight the fact that the providence of God that Pastor Marty talked about in the episode that I did with him is also something that I have experienced. And when I interviewed him, I don't talk about my stories while I'm listening to someone else's story. So in fact, while he was talking, I was just having so many different scenarios pop in my head of my own personal experiences that I'm like, oh, I relate to that. Oh, I relate to that. Oh, God did that in my life too. Oh, I've seen God be that way in my life. Oh, God did something like that in my life too. And it's just really neat. So I'm actually going to play back a clip from Pastor Marty's episode in just a minute. And you guys will be able to see how this is the same God working on earth in different people's lives. He and I are different ages. He's from the West Coast. I'm from the East Coast. I mean, it's just kind of cool how we can see that God is working in believers' lives in similar ways, even when we don't know each other and we didn't grow up, you know, in a similar area or with similar families. And so I'm just, I don't know. I just find these things to be so interesting. So what it comes down to is that he really does move mountains, and he can make things work out in such an intricate, detailed kind of way that no man could ever orchestrate. So I'm going to give you an example from my life. I think if you've been listening for a while, you know that I've have a history of moving to different places that I didn't want to go because God told us to. God told us to move. I didn't want to go. And then we went anyway. And then God kind of fulfilled, I guess, or is fulfilling the things that he wanted to accomplish through that. Well, my very first big move was to Chile, South America when I was a sophomore in college. And that was against my will. I didn't want to go. And I was pretty upset with God for it. And I the whole time I'm like, why am I doing this? I don't know why I'm doing this. But I did it anyway. And I can't go into those details of that one right now, because the one I really want to tell you about is the next one that happened. And that is when I thought I wanted to go to Spain, but God was kind of telling me to not go to Spain. And instead, he sent me to Dallas. So I'm going to tell you some of the details of that story. I was a senior in college at Clemson University, and I wanted to go to Spain for a graduate degree. That's how I thought I was going to really kind of up my game with the Spanish language and culture. I wanted to go back to where it all started. I had at that point lived in Chile. I had lived in Mexico, and I really wanted to go to Spain. So while I'm pursuing this, I start to feel, anytime I'm praying to God, I start to feel this pressure that God is telling me not to do it. And that was, I did not like that. So I kind of slowed down in my prayer life. But even when I wasn't actively praying, I still felt this sense that God did not want me to go to Spain. And again, I was very upset about that. So I just kind of turned things off with God. I just didn't spend any time with him. I didn't talk to him. I just went on about my life. But as I did, as I kind of walked away from him in my heart and just pursued my own interest, I started to really start to exhibit signs of depression. And I was feeling like I was in this very dark place. I felt very isolated. I felt very downcast. I did not want to spend time with people. I didn't even want to make eye contact with people. And if you know me, that's very weird, just because of my personality. But I can remember vividly this one day I was walking across this bridge that took me to my apartment complex, and I felt like I had the weight of the world on my chest. There was a sense of like depression and anxiety that was overwhelming me. And I just looked down at the ground while I'm walking, and I really genuinely wanted this pressure to go away. And so I talked to God while I was walking on that bridge, and I said, God, I'm so tired of feeling like I'm under this pressure that you're constantly telling me what to do. So when I go back to my apartment, if my roommate Kelly is in the apartment, then I will pray with her and I will let go of this whole Spain thing. But if she's not in the apartment, then I'm going to do what I want to do. And this is over between me and you. This whole fight or whatever's happening right now, it's over. I'm going to Spain. So basically, I give God this ultimatum. I don't recommend it, but I was 19 or 20 and I did it. And I was playing with God because I knew Kelly's schedule. She worked for the athletic department and I knew that she would not be there. So I knew her schedule. She always was working at that time. And I thought, I'm going to trick God and I am going to make this ultimatum and then I'll be free. Like she won't be there and then I'll be free and I can just move on with my life. So I get back to the apartment, lights are off, it's quiet. I'm like, woohoo, I win, right? Like my battle with God is over and I win and I'm going to be able to go on with my life now because it's settled. I get into my room, I take my backpack off, I turn my lights on, I close my door. And while I'm like logging onto my computer, I hear a faint voice from the other room saying, Jess, is that you? And I look up with big eyes and thought, oh my God, who is that? And then I hear, Jess, is that you? And I was like, my heart starts pounding. And I thought, oh my God, how is she here? How in the world is she here? So I slowly like walk, I open the door to my room, I walk out into the hallway, I turn left to go to her room, and I'm realizing, oh my gosh, she's here. And I slowly open the door to her room to peek in and see if she really is there. And I look at her and I said, what are you doing here? And she said, oh, athletic department called me and said that something had come up and they needed to change my schedule. And now they want me to go in on a different day. And I thought, oh my gosh. So she was there and I just looked, she said, are you okay? And I just started bawling and I was actually boohooing. I was like, oh my gosh. And I told her, I said, will you pray with me? And she was like, yes. Okay. And she had no clue what was going on because I had not talked to anybody about my turmoil. And I said, I don't even have time to tell you or explain. I'll just pray and hopefully you can pick up on it. And she was like, okay. So we prayed together and I confessed my pride and my control to God. I let all of it out. I said that I would no longer push any further to go. And I would surrender to whatever it was that he wanted me to do. And I walked away from that conversation not knowing what he was going to do next. But I'll tell you, I did learn that he can do incredible things. And when I was in the conversation with Pastor Marty Baker on his episode, he made some comments like this as well. That really got my attention. So let's listen to a quick clip of him talking about the types of things that have been evident in his life and how he describes those things.
He's done miraculous things that I have to tell my children. I have to tell my grandchildren. I have to tell people because he does things that are statistically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And you know for sure that he arranged it.
So you see, Pastor Marty also has experienced this concept of knowing that God is arranging things. Like you just know that God's arranging things. And that continued to be the case for me in this scenario. He arranged that scenario on that day of me walking across the bridge and then praying with Kelly and letting go. But I'm sure you're probably wondering what happened after that. So it wasn't long after. I actually felt like so much better about my life. I didn't have that pressure on my chest anymore after I let go of the control, even though I didn't know what I was going to do when I graduated. So there was a fear, I guess, a worldly fear of, I don't know if I'm going to have a job. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. But then there was a spiritual peace, a sense of, now I'm surrendered to God. I know that God is in control and I'm no longer fighting him on that. And I was just trying to walk in that, I guess. So it wasn't long after I was at a friend's house one weekend and one of my friends said, hey, so what are you doing after graduation? And I looked at her and I said, honestly, I have no clue. And she said, well, if you could do anything at all, what would it be? And I was like, oh, that's actually a really good question. I think that I would move to a bigger city where there's a larger Spanish-speaking population so that I could, because I was bilingual and I really wanted to be around a bilingual population. So I said, I think I would move to a bigger city where there's a larger Spanish-speaking population where I could try my hand at a few different things before I really have to settle down. And I said, but that's so silly because to move to a big city, you have to have, you know, it's expensive to get an apartment or whatever. So you have to have money, which means you have to have a job. So it just doesn't really work like that. And 3 days later, I was out shopping and I got a phone call that my aunt in Dallas had made an offer for me after school, after graduation. And she said that she was thinking that Jessica could come and live in her vacant house that she still had in Dallas and wasn't selling yet. And I could be in a bigger city where I could be around a larger Spanish-speaking population and try my hand at a few things before I settle down. These were verbatim words. And mind you, this is after I had been dealing with this like depression and anxiety because I was not following the way that God wanted me to go. Then I surrendered all spiritual stuff, right? Like all spiritual realm things that were going on in my life. I have this very commonplace conversation with a friend, and it's now followed up with a miraculous conversation that was orchestrated by God. And that is the moment that I knew that I was supposed to move to Dallas. This ended up leading me. I ended up going to Spain, by the way, but not to get a master's degree. and then by the time that was all over, I moved to Dallas. I had a free place to live. I had no job. I had no friends. I had no family nearby other than a teenage cousin. And I had no idea what I was doing with my life, but I was there. And apparently God was making a plan. And so it was during that time that I was trying to like find a job, and I just couldn't find a job right away, but I wasn't going to sit idle. So I went to a local hospital and I volunteered as an interpreter in the day surgery unit. And I started that job. I was like 21 at the time. This 40-year-old nurse befriended me, and she invited me out one night for a girls' night. So I went out for this girls' night, and she took us to a place that none of us wanted to go to. We were like, oh my God, this place is so lame. Why are we going to this place? but she was like, oh, it's great. It has great music. Let's go there. So we went to this place, and it was that night that I ended up meeting my husband, David, who is from Chile. And when I met him, he did not speak English, but that's okay because I spoke not only Spanish, but Chilean Spanish. And when he met me, he could not believe that I had lived in Chile, that I spoke Chilean Spanish. And we just immediately kicked it off as a friendship. And we were friends for a number of months before we started dating. But can you see that all of these things, and on the funny side, like David's friend group didn't want to go to this place either, but there was one person in his group that was like, oh, no, the music's good. We can go there. And that's how they ended up at that place. And don't even get me started on what was going on in David's life at this time, how he ended up in the United States, what happened in Chile before he came. I mean, he had his own like tattered path that ended up leading him and God orchestrating all the details of his life to that led to that moment as well. And so it's very evident that God is moving, that he's orchestrating things, that he's putting people in places for specific reasons, for whatever it is that he's doing. And it's not even about me or my life or about, oh, a miracle that happened in my life. It's about the fact that God can do that kind of stuff. That's what it's all about. So I want you to take just a second to listen to a clip from Pastor Marty Baker's episode on the podcast where he's going to share about a scenario in his life when things were really pretty miraculous as well. And we're not listening to his entire story. We're going to just listen to a piece of it there at the end. But you're going to hear how what happened in his life of lots of different puzzle pieces coming together were also being put together for an overall plan. And this is what he refers to as God's providence that I was referring to earlier. God sovereignly guiding, sustaining, directing all events and creatures for his ultimate purpose. So let's take a listen to Pastor Marty. He was sharing about having worked for a paper company and driving a forklift and thinking that God had abandoned him, that he had that job. And that scenario leads to what you're going to hear him talk about now. So take a listen.
God exited me from the doctoral program. He sent me to this paper mill, blah, blah, blah. So when I wound up being the pastor of this little church plant I had not planned on doing, as it grew, we needed to get out of the school. And so one day I was driving down the main drag where the school was located. And I passed by an abandoned grocery store that was like a, it was a, built on the motif of like a Costco, but it didn't, it went defunct. And there was gates in the parking lot that had it closed, and like 30,000 cars a day went by this place. And so I stopped and pulled up in front of the gates with my car, and I said, you know, Lord, this would be a perfect location for a church. I would like that building. Like, could you like make that happen? So this was 3 years after I worked at the, in the warehouse. Not long thereafter, I got a call from a guy named Don Walters. Don was best friends with my boss from the paper mill. Don was a Christian at another mother, another one of our other mother churches that helped plant us. He said, hey, I got your name from, you know, my buddy at the cotton, at the paper place. And he said, you're looking for a place for your church. And I'm moving into this defunct grocery store. And I don't need the whole grocery store. And would you want part of it? It was that grocery store.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And we moved in there with Don. He had a carpet store on one side and we had church on the other side. And then over the years, we were there in that building for probably 17, 18 years. Eventually, we bought the whole building.
Yeah.
And miraculous things happened even in of that. So
that's neat. There, yeah.
So what I thought was a waste of my time driving this forklift loading trucks, God's like, no, you need to meet Mr. Cotton. And Mr. Cotton is going to introduce you to Mr. Walters. And Mr. Walters in the future
is going to have a building.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was absolutely dumbfounded at the intricacies of God's providence of how he planned that so that we could move that growing little church into that grocery store and build a church. We were the first church in our denomination, North American Baptist is what we were at the time, to do something like that. And so it was fascinating. We were the only church in town that had, you know, a truck bay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was all based on the providence of God. So as I've looked back over my life, things happening like that, it's like, no, there's always great purpose in these things that God does.
Yes.
And so just trust him.
Yes.
His leadership will be perfect and he will bless you and do great things. That's why I said, I would tell myself to relax if I was, could speak to myself, because I've seen many, many things like that.
Right.
Statistically impossible that I knew they were the hand of God.
Yeah.
And so,
Absolutely.
So I thank him for that kind of leadership.
Exactly.
Because all of that eventually, all the things that happened there prepared me for here to move across the country. And even in all of that was part of his providence.
Yes, right. He's the great orchestrator of all things, right?
So I don't question him so much anymore. I have questions, but I don't question him as much anymore, because even in things I don't understand or things that I think are unfair, but he's always just, he's always fair. And he always wants to do the great things for you, but will you follow him? And I'm like, yeah, Lord, I will follow you. Because I've seen you do things that they're humbling.
Yes, they are. But yes, I've had experiences like that in my life as well. And it is, it's so humbling. And you realize just how incredibly mighty he is, how mighty he is in all things. As you can tell, Pastor Marty has also had this experience that God's hand is moving things and orchestrating things. And I love how he says the intricacies of God's providence, the great purpose in the things that God does. There really is great purpose in the things that God does. I love how God is not superficial in any way. He's very purposeful, very intentional. He's always on the move for good and for good reasons. So I want to share with you how we see this in the Bible. I love that Acts 17:27 says, he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. For from him, Romans 11:36 says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. He is sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's Hebrews 1:3. And, you know, we can see God's greatness. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. I love this character of God, how he is so mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. He is sovereign over all things. Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So friends, if you're facing hard things right now, or if you're not sure if God's really that involved in your life, please understand he is on the move. His hand is involved with his creation. He works in you, through you, and for you. He works for your good and for his purpose. So rest assured that maybe you don't see it right now. Maybe you can't tell. I can tell you, when I was on that bridge that day, I am feeling completely depressed and giving an ultimatum to God. I couldn't see what was about to go down. I had no idea what God was orchestrating. And when I ended up in Dallas and I ended up in a vacant house with no job, no friends, no family, no plan, I could not see what God was doing. And when Pastor Marty was driving forklifts in a paper mill, and when he was pastoring a church that he never thought he would pastor, and when he ended up, looking at a building that he never imagined that he would actually be able to get, he didn't know how it was all going to play out. But now we can see the hand of God working on earth. And I hope that this brings you encouragement and confidence that you can trust him with your life. You can trust him with your struggles, and you can trust that if today you are not sure about your future, he is sure about your future. Thank you for joining us today, and I hope to have you back for the next episode. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.